Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Daily Witness is not just a podcast, but originally started as a gospel newspaper. Trevor Van Vieren Ministries distributes this newspaper free of charge, paid for by partners and friends. If you have not received a copy of this newspaper in your mailbox, feel free to download a copy from our website, www.thedailywitness.co.za. And now, enjoy today's podcast.
Before we jump into today's message, have you been enjoying these podcast episodes from The Daily Witness? Would you like more? Consider subscribing to The Daily Witness on YouTube for video content and for our Wednesday evening live streams, which takes place at 6:30. We also stream from the Telegram app at the same time. For word, quotes, ministry updates and more, follow us on social media. The Daily Witness is on X, Instagram, and Threads. Faith is what connects us to the Father. So remember, faith comes by hearing. So keep on hearing.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 6, "Let him that receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." Trevor Van Vieren Ministries now has Yoko as a payment portal for safe and secure transactions, both for national and international givers. So if you'd like to tithe into this ministry, or you'd like to sow a financial seed, head on over to our website, www.thedailywitness.co.za, and click on the Giving tab. All contributions that are received goes into furthering the gospel by reaching the lost and training people to live by faith.
All right. Okay, that was actually quite nice, and I'm just going to say, before we started the service, we just spent a little bit of time praying in the Spirit. And why do we do that? When we pray in the Spirit, it's not for the congregation in this instance. It's not to minister towards the congregation. That was for us, just so that we can be edified. And the scripture gives you clear instruction when to do it and when not to do it. You don't do it if there's sinners in the room, okay? What do I mean by sinners? Those who are lost, those who are not born again yet. You don't do that. It's better to prophesy, the Apostle Paul said. So we did that for us because we know everyone here is born again and they understand about the Spirit of God and they understand about praying in other tongues. But that was awesome. I needed that. Because between now and, you know, before this, I engage a lot, unfortunately, in the sense realm. We've got to set up cameras and stuff like that. So we pray in tongues to get my spirit sensitive, and then I can go back to the heart of God again, and I pick up His goodness. Amen. So, the title of this message is to be confident in His love. And we've been focusing, since the beginning of the year, we've been talking about intimacy with God. Well, you know what? How can you know God apart from knowing Him as love? That's impossible. You can't do it because God is love. He does not have love. He is love. So if you want to know God, you're going to have to know love, because love is God and God is love. Amen? Amen. And we are very, very fortunate to have this awesome privilege. I think that the church just does not grasp that. Just a couple of years ago, well, when I say a couple of years ago, I'm talking about a couple of thousand years ago, you couldn't do that. If you were an Israelite, the Jewish people were in covenant to God and there was a temple, and God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And the priest was only able to go into the Holy of Holies beyond the veil once a year. I mean, can you imagine that? Everyone on the outside, they were actually scared. They didn't want to go in here. And I don't blame them. But, you know, if you... I do this. I role play this in my mind. I think to myself, you're walking in town. The temple is built. And you walk up and down past the temple. You can see it. You can see it from a good couple of miles. All around the city, you could see the temple. But you could never know him intimately. You just had to go to, you know, the synagogue, and once a year you'd go to the temple and you'd offer sacrifices. And that's as far as it went. But in the new covenant, we have this awesome privilege. I mean, Solomon said this. King Solomon said this after the temple was built, the first temple. I'm not talking about the tabernacle of Moses. I'm talking about the first temple that Solomon built. He said this. How the heavens of the heavens cannot contain you. He says, how's this building going to contain you? Talking about the vastness of God. And he made himself humble, and he squeezes into these little physical bodies of ours. That's just absolutely amazing. And I just think to myself, is the church actually grasping this? Where the Holy of Holies, where you could not go into because of sin, you would drop down dead. And it was only certain people that could qualify. That was the priests. But here we are. Just everyone, anyone who gets born again, that was his heart. That was the heart of God. He's always wanted to dwell with his people. And that's what we have to this day. And Jesus was the first one that said that. And of course, you guys know the scripture, John chapter 17 and verse 3. And he says, this is eternal life. He says, this is eternal life, that you can actually know the one true God and Jesus Christ. And we know that word means gnosko, and it means you can actually have an experience for yourself. And it doesn't have to be once a year. It can be every single day. We are spoiled. Guess what? Your temple houses the Shekinah glory of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You can actually go into the Holy of Holies all day, every day. If you could stay awake that long, of course. And so, we have this awesome privilege of actually experiencing God. But he goes on further and he tells us this. God is love. If you want to experience God, you have to know him as love. There's no other way. There is no other way. So, we're talking about intimacy with God. So if you want to experience that intimacy, if you want to have that personal experience, you're going to have to know him as love first. And when it dawns on you that God is love, let these words register. When it dawns on you that God is love, that he doesn't have love, that he is love, it just changes everything. Amen? Now, last week, Wednesday, I was up early and I was going through my scriptures. I read my scriptures early in the morning when it's nice and quiet. I don't like to be disturbed. And I actually like the lights off. So I got my MacBook open in front of me and then I just read it off the screen. And then I just do my own studies from there. And this is about 20 past five, half past five in the morning. Well, I was minding my own business. And I tell you what, I did not expect this. But the Spirit of God manifested in the room in such a powerful way. I told Megan when I came out of that room, I said, he did something. She said, what's that? I said, God has opened up my eyes. The Spirit of God has opened up my eyes to something. And I want to share that with you tonight. And that's actually what he wanted me to tell you. Instruction. You're going to have instruction. Now, this is what happened. I had a preview. I'm calling it a preview, okay? I had a preview of someone who took the time and meditated on the love of God. And I was experiencing what that feels like for someone who meditated on the love of God after a period of time, say about a month, maybe a month and a half, I don't know. But that was my experience. The love of God, it's kind of hard to explain, so I want you to catch this with your spirit, okay? Knowing, I was in a place of knowing His love. You know what's the first thing I experienced? Confidence. Wow. Confidence like never before. I just felt like I could ask Him for anything at that moment in time. Isn't that interesting? He gave me a preview of what it feels like for someone who's been meditating on how much God loves you. So it was sort of like a, just like you would go to a premiere for a movie and only a select few get to watch it first before the general public. I had that experience. It was absolutely amazing. It was so strong. Everything that you could think would go wrong, it was just all tossed out the window. I felt like His favorite at that time. I just had this mental knowing all the time. In that little period of time, I just had this mental knowing that He loves me all the time. All the time. And I was just sitting there taking it in. And you know, it's the very first thing I did. Because I knew this was a very unique experience. So I prayed for a guy that I knew that he was trapped in drugs. And the sister reached out and asked Megan if we can't pray for him and so forth. And it was at that moment, because this confidence, it's the first thing. Can you see the offspring that comes when you come to a place that you know God loves you? There's the benefit. The very first thing that comes up is confidence in Him. You just feel like, hey, I can pray anything and my prayer is going to get answered. And so I used that moment not for myself. I used it for another guy. He's a born-again believer. But he was bound up in drugs. The enemy came and took advantage of him. So, well, I prayed for him. And I just knew. Listen, I just knew Daddy heard me. Imagine you could feel like that every day, all day. Can you imagine how life would be? And that is available to us. So I prayed for this guy, and like I said, I just knew. I didn't, you know, usually when people pray, then they wonder right afterwards, you know, the enemy will come and attack. Well, I wonder, is that prayer answered? And usually people go into doubt mode within the hour. But I couldn't go into doubt mode. I just knew. And guess what happened? Sunday, we came to church, and that lady brought that brother in. He was clean. He came and he sat here in the service. Absolutely amazing. I was like, wow. One prayer. Guys, one prayer. Not praying and praying and praying and praying and wondering and struggling with doubt. And because I was enveloped in this atmosphere of love. And that is available to each and every one of you. And then, let me tell you this, it lifted. And then I was back to my normal self. And the Spirit of God said this to me. He did that on purpose. And my eyes were opened. And He showed me where I made a mistake. And I'm telling you now, if I made the mistake, there's a lot of you that's making the exact same mistake. When I preach the love of God, a lot of people get stirred up by that message. And they say, man, that was awesome. And when you talk to them, I've said this many times, and I've heard preachers actually say this as well. They say, it's hard to teach on the love of God because, you know, people say, no, I know God loves me. And I've mentioned this before. But, as we've mentioned as well in Ephesians, it says that there's dimensions to God's love. So you can never ever come to a place where you completely know the love of God. But I can tell you something now, you can grow in it. You can grow in those various dimensions. You can grow in the depth of His love. You can grow in the height of His love. You can grow in the breadth of His love. And you can grow in the length of His love. But when you actually do that, guess what happens? You see, everyone thinks that they're there, but they're not. Because I thought I was there. And the Spirit of God corrected me. And He said, no, you're not. You know why? He says, because when you hear love messages and you've got the knowledge of it and you've got a little bit of understanding on it. Did you hear that? A little bit of understanding. He says, and you've got some experience. And I mean, that's great. Don't get me wrong. He says, now you think you've arrived. He says, but what happens when those experiences lift? He says, you've got to be honest with yourself. You still face the daily challenges in life. You're still facing the fears that the enemy is putting up against you. You're still facing the pressures. Now watch this. And he said, you are not aware of how much I love you 24 hours a day if you were awake that long. He said, I want you to come to a place where you actually consistently aware of how much I love you. All the time. Every waking moment. And that was a challenge to me. And I said, oh my goodness, you are absolutely right. I am doing that. I've had some experiences. I know a lot of love teachings and I go and listen to them and it stirs me up. And I've had these temporary experiences, and the Holy Ghost is saying, I don't want it to be temporary. Whew. Man, go to Ephesians. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 3 from the Amplified Classic, please? I'm just going to get from the Amplified Classic translation. I just want to share it with you. Ephesians chapter 3, and I think it's verse 14 and so forth. But He's saying there that we don't, he wants us to experience what I experienced. I probably experienced it for about 5 minutes. Yes, please. I probably experienced it for about 5 minutes. And that 5 minutes was absolutely amazing. And he said, you can have this all the time. It doesn't have to be knowledge. It doesn't have to be now and again. It doesn't have to be once a year. For some people, it's only once a lifetime. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 17. And I'm reading from the Amplified Classic on purpose. May Christ, This is not talking about Jesus. This is talking about the anointing of Jesus, okay? Because Jesus is already in your heart. But listen to this. May Christ, translated in the book of John, he gives us that translation. He talks about the Messiah, the Christ, and he says the anointed one. Well, what does the anointed one have? He has an anointing. Who are you? You are the body of Christ. Translated, you are the body of the anointing. But some of us are walking around with an inactive anointing. You know why? You're not rooted and grounded in love. Look at this. He says, may Christ, may the anointing through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. This is not every believer today. Because if it was, they would be walking around with a silly grin on their face all day, every day. And you would see they are the ones that get their prayers answered like this. Just like in that moment, I prayed one prayer. Christ, the anointing. It's the anointing that does these amazing things. The book of Isaiah translates the anointing as this. What does the anointing do? Why do we need the anointing? It says, it removes burdens and it destroys yokes. And it actually says, his burden and his yoke. Who's his? The devil. The devil puts burdens and yokes on you. And it's supernatural. And the only way you can get rid of it is by the anointing. That's the only way. And all of us, if you're born again, guess what? You are baptized into the body of Christ. Translated, the body of the anointing. You have the anointing on you. It's present on you. Wherever you go, you can remove burdens and destroy yokes because of the anointing that's residing on you. But how do you get that activated? Well, that guy that was strung out in drugs, I mean, you should have heard the story. The sister, she was crying. They said they thought he was dead. They found him around the corner, face down. He slept there the whole night. They thought he was dead. Oh, he took poison, eh? He took poison. So she's crying her heart out. Of course, it's her brother. She says he's born again. Well, we prayed right there. We took authority over that situation. But like I said, when the Spirit of God manifested the love, God was showing me a manifestation, how it feels when you are meditating and you are aware that God loves you all the time. And I had that free preview. And it felt amazing. And the very first thing that surfaced to the top, like I said, was confidence. I had this confidence. What's confidence? We've mentioned this before. Faith. All of a sudden, you've got confidence in him. Why? You know he's on your side. You know he loves you. You know he's going to answer your prayers. Watch this. In that environment, the anointing is released. That guy had a satanic burden and a yoke on him. Thank you, Lord. I'll mention that. And I prayed for him. He comes here, sober. Wow. One prayer. We're supposed to be living like this all the time. The Holy Ghost reminded me of another story. There was a lady. The Spirit of God told me that there was a lady with red hair that's going to come and she's in bondage. Many of you know the story. And the day came, this lady with the red hair, she came walking down the street. Man, she was stone drunk. Now, I saw in the Spirit what was going on there. There was a demon and there were other devils that were working with the main devil, and they had this woman in bondage. And this devil looked at me and said, I'm going to kill her. And of course, when she showed up, she was stone drunk. So I knew how he was going to do that. He was going to use alcohol to kill her. That was his plan. You know, the devil comes to steal. And when she came there, she was asking for money. I did not click just yet what was going on. I was seeing my friend off, Grant, and so forth. And she came and she was asking us for money. We said, we're not carrying anything on us because I'm seeing my friend off, and she was slurring. And she came from the bar up the street. And I don't know to this day, I can't still tell you how the conversation went over to Jesus. And I laid my hands on her and I said, Grant, because you know we're out in the street here, there's no carpets. And I said to Grant, you better get behind her. I laid hands on her. The anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. I touched her. When I did that, bam, she fell under the power. He caught her just in time, of course. And then before long, we had a whole crowd and we had a whole lot of people lying on the street as well. So we had people opening up windows and checking all this out. Now watch this. When she got up completely sober. She wasn't slurring her words anymore. I couldn't even smell liquor on her breath. Does that sound like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and you can't smell any smoke on their clothes? Isn't that the same thing? And she looked at me and she spoke quietly. She spoke with respect. And she said, and her husband, he was scared to come. You know, he was hiding behind the wall and he was watching what was going on. And she said, Nia, come. So she said, can you pray for my husband? So he came. We prayed for him. He fell under the power. Then a friend came, touched her as well. She fell under the power. This is the anointing. This is the church. This is the body of what? Christ. The anointing. We are his hands and his feet. So then she said to me, Holy Ghost, I'm just going to carry on telling that part of the story as well, because it's they all glued, you know. She said to me, can you pray for my daughter? I haven't seen her. I said, well, what's wrong with your daughter? She says, She's just gone. I haven't seen her in months. I said, okay. So I said, what's your daughter's name? By this time, it's dark. So I'm praying for a daughter, and we call out. I'm still in the middle of the prayer. She went off. She shrieked. Man, I got a fright. I said, what's wrong? She says, there's my daughter. I said, no way. I don't know. She was translated supernaturally. I can't tell you. But she was there. All of a sudden, she was there. So, you know, this is my very first experience of very, very supernatural stuff. So I look at her, and I actually got cross with her. I said, where were you? And she said, I was with my boyfriend. I said, for months? Are you serious? Your mom's crying for you, you know. And it didn't dawn on me yet. She didn't know where her daughter was for months. Someone says, oh, it was a coincidence. Uh-uh. That was the anointing. This is normal in the kingdom of God. Absolutely normal. Let's just carry on reading here. He says, may Christ, may the anointing through your faith actually dwell. Watch these words. Settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That's the key. That is how you see anointings manifest. That's how you see miracles take place. When you are rooted deep in love and when you are founded securely on love. That's the first key. Why? Because we already know this. God is love. God, it's His anointing. This is not something that you have to struggle with. This is not something that you need to get going. It's His power. But if you want to make contact with that power where it's flowing all the time, you have got to come to a place where you are rooted in love and where you are founded securely on love. And look at the benefits of that afterwards. He says that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints God's devoted people the experience of that love. Well, I just gave you a little preview now. I shared with you what happened with me on Wednesday morning. Where God was showing me how much He loves me. Man, it was amazing. He says that you can share with the people the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth of it? I want to carry on here. He says that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. Can you see what this goes back to what the Holy Ghost said to me on Wednesday? He said, you've got knowledge of the love. You've had miniature experiences. So now you think you've arrived. He says, but you are supposed to be aware that I love you, not from a point of knowledge. No, you're supposed to be aware of me being there, and I'm looking at you, and I've got a big grin on my face, and I'm looking at you with love in my eyes all the time. Not on rare occasions. And what that does is, you see, that goes past knowledge without experience. He wants you to have experience of that love. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. Look at that, folks. There is no other way. I'm giving you witness after witness. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 tells us God is love. Here again, he's telling you to have experience of that love. And he goes like this here. He says, if you can come to a place, and we're gonna go back to that now. But he says, if you can come to a place where you know the depth and the breadth and the length and the height, where you are rooted, that takes time to get to that place. It's not overnight. And it's not even in the first month. He says, when you do that, look at the benefits. You have the fullness of God. Can you even comprehend what that means? Don't just read that. Listen to me. The fullness of God. Let that soak in. If you had the fullness of God with you, on your person, tell me, what are you going to be afraid of? Come on. You're unemployed? Well, you got the fullness of God. You're not unemployed anymore. Huh? Am I right? You got a business and the business is going down and you don't know which way and you're starting to panic. Hey, you need to focus on how much God loves you. And when you do that, you come into the fullness of God. When you come into the fullness of God, what happens? The anointing. What does the anointing do? It removes burdens, it destroys yokes. He says here, the fullness of God, you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now watch this. We never read past this. What's the benefits of having the fullness of God? What's the benefits of that? When you come to a place, you took the time to be aware of how much God loves you, and it became a reality to you. But when it became a reality to you, God manifested in your life in far greater measure than you've ever experienced before. Watch what happens. Let's read the next verse. Now to Him who, by in consequence of the action of His power that is at work, where? Within you. Not outside you, within you. The power of God. He's going back to verse 17, man. The anointing. The burden-removing power. Yoke-destroying power of God that is at work with inside of you. That's where the power is. Now to him who by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work with inside of us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Man, that's a mouthful. That is power. He says, when the fullness of God has manifested in your situation, the power of God that's inside of you goes to work. And because of that, he says, whatever you ask, God, your Father, who loves you, is going to do far above. He uses this word super abundantly, far above all that you can dare ask or think. He's daring you. So many people, what do you think he says in the book of Hebrews? Come to the throne boldly, that you may obtain grace in your time of need. What will that grace do? Well, it'll get rid of that need. He's telling you, don't come ashamed. Don't come a begging. You're supposed to come boldly. Why would you come ashamedly? Why would you beg? Because, I'll tell you why you do that. Because you don't know how much he loves you. That's why. You still got that wrong thinking, that wrong mentality. And I've said this in the previous message. I said, God loves us so much and we are not experiencing it. Because people don't know that the love of God is actually power. It's power in your situation. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Now, the Spirit of God said this to me. How do we get to that place? How do we get to that place? Here's the answer, and you might think you know it. Don't roll your eyes when I tell you this. Meditate. You have to meditate on His love. You're going to have to take the time. Listen to me. You're going to have to take the time because it's not in there. It's not in your thinking. Of course it won't be in your thinking. Only your spirit got born again. Your soul needs to be renewed. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your job. It's not going to fall into your lap while you out partying and drinking and doing whatever you want. Oh, yeah, God loves me, God loves me. Don't fool yourself. You're never going to experience the fullness of God. While you're binging on horror films and thrillers and that junk. That stuff feeds fear. Shouldn't be watching that junk. We're living in the last days. You don't add the fear, you're committing spiritual adultery. You should be taking the time to meditate on how much He loves you. You're going to have to deliberately put it in your thinking. And your mind is going to reject it. That's okay. Go back and put it in there. And your mind is going to kick it out. Go back and put it in there. I'm telling you, your flesh is going to reject this. But guess what? Here's the good news. You have authority over your soul. You can tell your soul what to think and what not to think. So you get some help. You go, and this is why we record these messages on video, so that you can go to our YouTube channel, go and subscribe, and you go and watch this. Why? It bypasses your mind. When someone is preaching, we've gone through this, Romans chapter 10. When someone is sent, not someone that went, someone who is sent, someone who takes the time to seek the Word of God, you got to go and take these messages and you got to go and watch it again. Some of you, your minds are so riddled with the fear, it takes a lot of this Word to flush that junk out. We're not recording this so that we can be famous, so that we can be creators. We're doing this to serve people. It's a tool. You've never heard of a plumber that goes and just shows up and he's going to come and fix up pipes, and then the guy says, don't you want to get your toolbox? No, I don't need it. Excuse me? How are you going to work on the pipes? A plumber has very specific tools, and he invests money in purchasing those tools. So likewise, the preaching of the gospel is a tool for the church. It says so in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. It's there to edify you. In Romans chapter 10, it says that's how faith comes. You need faith for God loving you. You need to hear it. You need to hear it. You need to hear it. And then you need to take these scriptures, or go and look up everything where it says God loves you, and you need to go and read it out loud until it becomes a thought. And you need to take the time and leave it at the top of your thinking. And you need to make sure that you think about it all day. And the next day, you're going to do this again. And the next day, you're going to do it again. Why must I do that? Because it's not going to jump into your thinking all by itself. You've got to do that. It's your job. Now watch this. If you do that, guess what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians? He says, it's God that gives the increase. He says, I watered, Apollos maybe planted, or it could be the other way. He says, but it's God that gives the increase. You're not wasting your time. Mark chapter 4 talks about the incorruptible word. You are not wasting your time. You're spending time in the Word. You're spending time in the Word. And you're going through these scriptures and you're listening to the love of God. You're listening to these messages until it becomes thoughts that automatically start flowing in your mind. That's meditation. You're going to have to meditate. You're going to have to come to a place where you wake up in the morning, and it comes to a place, you might have to do it for a while. You might have to do it for a while. But you come to a place where it starts registering. And your mind is not fighting it. Romans chapter 8 talks about that. The carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. And your mind stops fighting because it starts coming into subjection to the Word. And that's how you get your spirit, soul, and body aligned. Have you ever seen in social media, they say they're trying to get repositioned. They're trying to get refocused. How are you going to do that without God? You get refocused by renewing your mind. Because, why? There's a fight between your spirit and the unrenewed mind. And the one who's the strongest is going to prevail. That's just the truth about it. So what do? You put that Word in subjection. You put that Word in your mind, so that your mind can be subject to your spirit, so that you can start ruling and reigning from your spirit, and your soul comes into subjection, and your body just naturally follows. And you come to a place, really, where it starts dawning on you. The Apostle Peter actually wrote about that. He said, when the day star arises in your hearts, What's that? You start saying things like this. Oh my word, God really loves me. You start seeing it on the inside. God loves me. Oh wow. And it's just random. You might be going to the bathroom, washing your hands, and you're like, God loves me. Wow, there's overflow. That's a good place to be. And you keep at it, 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 and you come to a place where you lay your head down at night and you're thinking about how much he loves you. Now it's at the top of your mind all the time. And then you start having manifestation. And you start seeing the fullness of God. You know what's the first thing that happens? You're going to have that exact same experience as I did. This confidence just comes to the top. Oh, Father, we have a situation here, but I tell you what, whoo, you just love me so much, you're going to take care of it. I just know it. No proof in the natural whatsoever. And the people around you will be confused and they might even argue. That's okay. They haven't been doing what you've been doing. And you don't give it a second thought. And you come to a place where you pray one prayer. And after that, it might be the same day, it might be during the week, I don't know. But you're not struggling with your situations anymore because you got the fullness of God on the inside of you. The anointing is just flowing. Angels are at work. The Spirit of God is talking to who He needs to be talking to. God loves me. You come to that place. God loves me. Oh, God loves me. Oh, He'll take care of this for me. I don't have a stress in the world. I just wrote some notes. Talking about that, by the way, why does that confidence surface? You know, we watch this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We quote Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 so much. And it says, you know, we all want to say it because we want to sound like fancy Christians who know our Bible. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. So what do? We try and walk by love so that we can get our faith to work. No, all you have to do is focus on how much God loves you and that faith will rise up. It just comes up to the surface just by itself. You don't have to make anything work. It just comes to the surface. Again, another word for faith is confidence. It just comes to the top. You know He's going to take care of you. You know your prayer is answered. You don't struggle. It just flows. It's because faith works. Because you know. You took the time. You meditated. You're not living off of scraps. You took the time and you meditated and you've got your own personal experience. And as a result, you know that He loves you and now your faith will work. That's what that scripture means. What's the outcome of this? Again, I'm going to tell you it's confidence. 1 John chapter 5. The whole book of 1 John is about love. The apostle that wrote this referred to himself as the apostle of love. He knew God loved him. In his first gospel, the gospel of John, we're not talking about 1 John. We're talking about the gospel of John when he was still a disciple. He was the youngest of all the disciples, by the way. He was the one that put his head up against Jesus' chest. He's the one that referred to himself in that gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know what church history tells us about this guy? He was so convinced that God loved him, he was the only disciple that outlived all of them. And he died of natural causes. They arrested him at age 92 or 93. And they told him that he must bow down to a false pagan god, Domitian. And he said, I will not. And they actually had a massive cauldron. What they would do is, a thing was filled with oil. And that is how they used to torture the Christians. And they said, we're going to put you in this thing. He said, I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to denounce Christ. He knew he was loved. How many Christians would quickly denounce Jesus just like that? And then afterwards say, Lord, I repent. So they put him in that vat of hot oil. Well, brother, what if he died? And he would have died. He would have went to heaven. What's the big deal? But you know what happened? They stuck a hook in there, and usually what would happen is the meat would just fall off the bones. And when they pulled the hook up, there he was, smiling. Domitian screamed. He shrieked. And this is recorded in other religions. They got this recorded. It's a fact. It happened. So Domitian didn't know what to do, and he exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And you know what the Apostle John did there? He just wrote the book of Revelation. And Domitian, he died 2 years later, and John came out of prison. And he looked after the seven churches that the Apostle Paul started. But he was convinced. He was absolutely... That love is power. You see, he knew God loved him to the point where he experienced the fullness of God. And when the fullness of God came in, he knew God wasn't going to leave him in that vat of hot oil. He knew that. He had confidence in his Father. And he came out alive. And he still outlived that fake guy as well. And he wrote this. 1 John chapter 5, this whole book, like I said, is about love. This is, at this stage, when he wrote this, he's an elder. He's an aged man. He's experienced things. He's grown in the wisdom and understanding of God. He's got rich experience. And he said this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, he says, this is the confidence that we have in him. In who? Well, if you start off the book of 1 John, he talks about repenting first, and then he starts going into God is love later. He says, in this is the confidence that we have in him. In who? He's the one that gave us the revelation that God is love. So let's read it that way. This is the confidence that we have in love, that if we ask love anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that love hears us. If we know that love hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. In other words, you can have answered prayer every day, all day. People have a theory about that. They say, well, God answers some prayers and some he doesn't. Well, that's because you don't read your Bible. You can have every prayer answered. As long as he tells you there, as long as it's in the will of God, of course. But if you want every prayer answered, you've got to come to that place, guys. You've got to take the time to meditate on how much your Father loves you. It's not a bunch of words. This is reality. And I'm telling you something now. Thousands upon tens of thousands upon hundreds of thousands of Christians are not experiencing it. It's just words to them. So they're not walking in any power whatsoever. Again, I'm going to leave you with this. That morning, when he manifested and he gave me a preview, you see, you can have that all day where you're just convinced that he loves you. No questions asked. You can have that. Your mind can come to a place, your spirit, soul, and even your physical body. You can come to a place where you are aware of how much he loves you. All day, every single day. No fear in your life. And whatever you ask, your prayer can be answered. Every single day. And you can go out and you can manifest the anointing. And I'm telling you now, I had that experience and it is absolutely amazing. And you can have it too. But you're going to have to meditate to get there. And you won't wait very long, and you'll start seeing manifestations in a great way. Were you blessed tonight?
Yes.
Were your eyes open to something new? Guys, it's time that the church starts walking in some serious power. Let's close off in a word of prayer. Father, we're so blessed to have you. Wow. I just can't get over the reality. Dad, I want you to do something for me. I want everyone that's online and the people that's in this church tonight and the people that are watching by YouTube, I want them to have that same experience you gave me. Because I tell you what, it marks you. The confidence, it's amazing. There's nothing like it. It's like you're saying, you don't need to be afraid of anything. You don't need to be afraid of everything. I'm right there with you. I'll answer every single prayer with you. I'm the biggest deal in your valley. Father, I want you to give them that experience. Give that experience to them, Lord. Let them have a taste. Let them have a preview of how much you genuinely love us. Let them actually experience it. Let it go beyond words. Let it actually be an experience. And it's just some things, Father, that I can only say so much, but you can do beyond. And I thank you for that. I thank you for being with me tonight. I thank you for answering this prayer. I thank you for the presence of your Spirit. I thank you, Father, that faith has come to the hearer. Help them walk in this. Help them come to a place, Father, where they are actually thinking about you, and bring them to a place where they are actually aware of how much you love them. Let that be a reality all day, everywhere they are. And let them manifest Jesus into every situation. Now we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And remember, like we always say, faith comes by hearing.
So keep on hearing.
Amen.
Hey everyone, if you enjoyed today's podcast, feel free to let us know by contacting us via our Telegram channel, Trevor Van Vieren Ministries, or send us a message on our Facebook account. And if you liked what our ministry is doing, why not partner up with us and sow into God's vision, which is to bring a printed copy of our newspaper to every house in our city. All funds are used to increase the print run and reach more houses with the good news of Jesus Christ. You can sow via our website at www.thedailywitness.co.za. There you will find a tab called Sow Into a Vision. If you are inside of South Africa, you can use the option of SnapScan. You can download this app free of charge from Play Store or iTunes. If you are outside of South Africa, you can use our option of Give and Gain. We thank you for your faith and generous support. Remember, we love you and Jesus loves you.